Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
The four worst words in Toronto sports. Game 7 in Boston.
So we're not going to Vegas.
We're not going.
Toronto and 6.
You're not excited about a Game 7?
You watch playoff hockey?
Oh, yeah. It's the greatest thing in the world.
I missed the blue
Where's
puck.
Where's the glove puck?
Nothing can change the outcome of this series. Everyone knew exactly how this was going to go down.
I'm so tired of the Bruins.
Tigers, with some late inning magic, beat the Red Sox here. The final, Detroit 7 and the Red Sox 4. Red Sox 3-game win streak ends. They are now 9-14.
Right now.
Downs! Complete downs!
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Look who's in the house!
Unbelievable.
Back just in time for Game 7, the Bruins and the Maple Leafs.
I can't miss Game 7, Glenn.
And I hate to tell you, you actually missed three games that the Red Sox actually won. It really was good.
I know.
Really good.
I heard everything. All the problems have been fixed.
Nah.
You sweep Tampa. Nah. Everybody's like, oh, you know, they're almost 500.
Yeah.
After watching this, nothing has changed.
Hold on. Hey, Lou, did you have
fun? Go away.
Jeff,
Don't be angry, Lou.
Lou, did you
sounded great.
You have fun today, Lou?
Yeah, it was a blast.
Yeah.
You need to go away, okay?
Hold on. So good things happen when I leave. You sure about that?
No.
You sure?
No.
Let's start over again.
Lou and I were hoping we could go on vacation last week.
Seems like we had a rough week.
We wanted to fly to Cabo. All right, we'll get to the Red Sox, and then we'll get into the Bruins at Game 7. So I'm going to start at the back end, and then we'll get to Chris Sale on the front end.
Perfect.
Other than Thornburg, Embry, Brewer, Pointer, sock, and sock. Right? Fair?
Yes. Here's the thing that I want to keep an eye on this second. Now, Workman, Barnes, and Brazier threw every single game out in Tampa, right? You had a 3-game sweep. They threw each and every game. He had the day off yesterday. What I want to know is, does he stay away from him the second game?
Mm.
Is he determined to give these guys a couple of days off? Because to me, you know, Embry goes out there and you say, okay, try to get a confident inning out of him in the sixth. He gives up a bomb. You tie it up. Thornburg gets him out of that, throws the ball well. You give him a nice cleaning. He's outstanding. It's 3-3 in the eighth. I don't know. I mean, if you're staying away from him, I get it. You know, whatever. 3 days in a row, it's, you know, you don't want to burn these guys this early, unfortunately, even though your record is what it is. But no Barnes, no Brazier, no Workman. You know, in this game, it's 2-2 in the eighth. You had 9-1-2 coming up. Maybe you could pop one in the bottom half and close this thing out, especially in game one when you're in it. So I'll be curious to see if he stays away from these guys in game two. And it might make me feel better. I mean, if he brings these guys out, I would ask, why didn't they pitch in game one?
See, the story of the game, again, to me, is Chris Sale. Because to me, that's all anybody really cares about. Like, if this team is going to go the distance and repeat, Chris Sale is going to have to beat Chris Sale. And I was going back and forth between listening to you and listening to Eck. And in the beginning of the game, I was like, yeah, that's the Chris Sale we know. Oh, that's the guy we know. But next thing you know, his pitch count is through the roof. So I almost feel like he's just treading water. On one hand, he looks like he's figuring things out. But at the same time, he doesn't have the win. He doesn't have one win yet.
Not one. To me, this didn't build off that Yankee start.
No.
You know, and people have 10 strikeouts. Yippee. You know, I mean, yes, he struck out 10 guys, but all you need to know is he threw 97 pitches, 72 of them were strikes. Okay, that is absolutely pounding the strike zone. So he's throwing strikes. And in the first three innings, he walked a guy, gave up one single, and he threw 60 pitches, you know, 59 pitches. Like, it was strange because he struck out a lot of guys, and I still say after watching it that he had trouble putting guys away. And that was the reason why the pitch count got to what it was. He would be 1-2 on a guy, and six pitches later he might strike the guy out, but it took six, you know, once you had two strikes or whatever. So we saw a lot of that today. It was 93-94 in the first. As the game went on, it was 90-91.
Yeah.
The location was better. He threw fastballs into righties. It's just that it wasn't building off the Yankees as far as, you know, give me the power and now give me the location. I expect him to put it all together like we all do because he's that good.
Well, the funny thing is Alex Cora, if you remember with us last week, was really high on the next outing by Chris Sale, and I would say this is not what I think he expected. By the way, we did listen to you a lot today, but we did watch Eck, and Eck probably pissed off a lot of people in the Red Sox organization.
Uh-oh, what'd he do?
He came on the air, and he said it not once, but twice, and then apparently maybe he got word that people weren't happy, and he said, it's the last time I will say it all year long.
Back-to-back funk.
He said the only reason that Sandy Leon is here right now is to catch for this guy, Chris Sale. They were panicked because Chris Sale was not pitching well. The only reason Sandy Leon is here is for this guy on the mound right now, Chris Sale.
Well, what up?
Well, I mean, listen, but I think he was stating
no,
the obvious.
No, I think he's right.
No, and he said just as much. He said, you know, nobody wants to say it, but it's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
It's not like, look at Sandy Leon's batting average. He's either, if he doesn't walk, he's an automatic out. So the only reason why you would have him on the team at the moment was, okay, can he help out with Chris Sale? Can he be the binky that Chris Sale had last year? That's it.
So I bring it up, Lou, because I'm sorry, we're still not seeing the type of improvement you would expect to see with Chris Sale, unless there's a physical ailment. They say there is none, and we've now seen Sandy Leon behind the dish.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because the starters have been better, right? When you look at the ERA and everything, the first 10, the last 10, whatever you want. But, you know, Sandy's only caught Sale a couple times. I think he had Porcello. So it was, you know, he's not like he's catching all these guys, and that's the reason why they've turned it around. You know, the ERA was so bad, you just knew they were going to turn it around, right? And so, I think that's why he's here. And it's not just Chris Sale. Maybe it is Rick Porcello, and eventually maybe he'll catch a guy like Price or Erod or whatever. He might mix another guy in, but I don't understand why people would be upset at that comment. I mean, that's why he's here, because there's certain guys that are just more comfortable. It's nothing against anybody else. It's just the way it is, right? Why are people upset about that?
Because, you know what? Because Eck is saying it, and he's right. It's everything that people have been talking about. But he basically said he's here for one guy and one guy only. But let's face it, if Chris Sale doesn't get his act together, you've already got Eovaldi down now, and who knows how long he's going to be out. He was out for 2 months last year with the exact same situation, same injury.
Not great.
Same surgery.
I mean, here's the thing. It's like, you know, Sandy Leon calls a good game. Yes, he's a good catcher. But, you know, he can't help. I mean, did he help Hembree? I mean, good God, this guy's coming in now, and you know, he just keeps giving it up. Did he help Brewer in the eighth inning? It still comes down to executing your pitches and throwing strikes. I don't care who's behind the dish. It might make you feel a little more comfortable, but that doesn't mean it's just automatic and I'm going to just get guys out because of the catcher. Those guys, I mean, Brewer got smoked here today in the eighth inning.
And, you know, and Chris Sale always says, you know, it doesn't, you know, yeah, okay, he doesn't shake off any signs. He just throws what they want. And if he throws the right pitch the right way and he executes and he locates, then it doesn't matter who the catcher is. He never has to shake anybody out, any off. So
No.
So it's more him than Sandy alone, Leon. But it's almost like you're chasing the fix. You're chasing the problem. You're trying to hurry up and catch up to it. People are starting to panic, getting nervous. All right, fine, screw it. Let me see if we can help something. Let me see if we can help Chris Sale. Bring up Leon. Maybe that'll make him feel better as far as just an overall comfort situation.
I'll tell you the other thing. You look at this lineup and you say, how are you having trouble with this lineup? Castellanos, I would expect. Rodriguez had a big game against them. Cabrera, I don't know. Well, you tell me. He did have a couple of hits. He's a shell of himself, is he not?
No, he is. He is. The power isn't there. I mean, he's still there's still respect there. There's still a presence at the plate. But
is this a scary lineup?
No, but I mean, what lineup has he faced that's been any good? He faced the Yankees without anybody. I'm just saying the entire team, really. The best lineup they faced has been Tampa. I mean, maybe Seattle. Okay, they got a little pop early on, but it's not like, you know, this is a bad lineup. You should walk through it. You know, I mean, these teams, they haven't played any good lineups. This is like the third team I've called on the radio. I don't know a single soul in any of these teams. You know, I'm going to Mario going, who's this guy? Who's this guy? Like, I know Castellanos and Miggy, but everybody else, you're like, who's this guy?
Those are the two guys I recognize as well.
I mean,
and then Rodriguez, I watched him today and I said, man, he's a pretty good hitter. You know, he's got a little bit of power. I'm the same way. And if you're having trouble, this is not a good sign for Major League Baseball. If you're having trouble identifying these players, because you're doing the game.
This one really came down to, like I said, I'm curious to see how the bullpen works. I got to credit my man Will Fleming here, Flemball, on this one, because, you know, Hembree's kind of getting to the point where I'm getting infuriated when I just see his presence. He had this stat from 2017 to now. He is 112th at 122 relievers in WHIP.
Who? Who is?
Heath Hembree.
Really?
In WHIP for relievers. And 114th out of 122 relievers in home runs per nine innings pitched.
That's not so good, is
God,
it?
God, awful.
I mean, and here's the thing. Thornburg was great. You know, that was big inning in a third for him. But it's, you're in a 2-2 game. Why am I seeing Hembree, Thornburg, and Brewer?
Well, I've said this. Cora was actually 1-for-2 today because he said he thought Sale would finally get it together. And he said he's seen signs that Thornburg has got his act together, right?
Well,
Thornburg was pretty good. By the way, you're off the Cora interview tomorrow.
Hashtag hot seat.
Why?
Because Cora said that if they won over the weekend, that you were done.
They swept that Tampa series.
They swept Tampa series.
So, wait, I get to sit that out?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, good, because, you know, I had a lot of hard-hitting questions for him. I was ready to really just kind of attack him, make it uncomfortable.
Wait till he finds out you flew in for this game.
Yes, yeah, just to see this one.
Or red tube.
Oh, Lord,
you are gone.
Here's the good news, or the bad news. They still have one more to play, and that will be tonight. What time is that one, 7:05 or whatever?
I believe.
Could the umpire, 10? Could the umpire, 7:10, could the umpires get there in time for this game tonight?
Yeah, what was up with that? They thought it must have been like a 1:10 start. It was 1:05, and Sale's sitting there saying, you know, we're doing the whole coming down, balls in, right? Old school Little League thing. And the umpires are rolling in from left field, and Sale's ready to go. What are we doing?
I swear to God, only in baseball. You know, the game is slow. They can't pick up the time. And then today the umpires think it's a 1:10 game instead of a 1:05 start. Yeah. Unbelievable.
This is just a very disappointing loss. I can't even, I mean, you know, you got a 10-game homestand. You come back, you sweep Tampa Bay. You figure you got a little momentum. You sit there and say, you know, 10 games. You go 7-3, you're back to 500 and just see what happens, right? And you drop game one against, you know, a team that is throwing the ball real well, but offensively isn't doing much. And they put a seven spot?
Seven.
I blacked out in the eighth.
Yeah, they put seven.
I don't know what the score was.
Put seven up there.
I blacked out when I heard Sweet Caroline after they gave up four in the eighth inning.
That's always good, isn't it? It's a great
moment.
I mean,
can we just stop with Sweet Caroline when you give up four in the eighth?
Here's the good news. Here's the good news. There were only about 760 people singing at that. That was left. They were the only people there. All right, we're going to get to the phone calls. We'll get to the Bruins as well. Big game seven tonight. You missed that, by the way, big fella. You had Toronto in six. Screwed that up, but I'll give you credit. Give you credit. You had the Celtics sweeping the Pacers.
I still got them losing, so it doesn't matter.
You still have what losing?
Toronto the Bruins losing. Bruins losing.
You had them in six. So we'll get into all of that. We'll open up the phone lines here on the Red Sox. On the Bruins at 617-779-7937. We're a little bit late after the baseball game, but we're here.
We're back with more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Do you like the confidence is coming back to swagger to some extent?
Confidence has never left. I know who I am. I know what I can do on a baseball field. I know Shell's job to freak out, but I'm not worried about where I'm at or what I'm doing. I know what I'm capable of doing, and, you know, check the book, I've done it quite a bit. So, you know, for me, it's getting my stuff back, getting my command back, and putting it all together at one time and harnessing that and carrying it through, you know, as many starts.
That's Chris Sale after the game today. Not a good one for him. Only went five innings, and as Lou said, the problem was pitch count. And once you only go five innings as a starter, it means you start using up the arms in the bullpen. And let's face it, that's the weakest part of the team right now. So,
anybody check the book?
What book's that?
What book?
Sale said to check the book. What, can you tell me what the book is? Hold on. He said the check. Lou, do you have the book there?
I don't have the book. I have like a baseball card. Is that what you mean? Check the back of the baseball card?
I don't know. I guess that's the same thing. I don't want him telling me. He's like listening to you, Ordway, telling. That's his version of look it up.
Shell's about to freak out, but.
Look it up. It's a hockey
look
term.
Look it up. It's a hockey term.
Yeah, it's hockey term.
Everything's a hockey term.
Yeah, hockey term.
So it's interesting because Sale is off to this poor start, and they just gave him a big, huge contract. And then Nate Eovaldi just got himself a nice little contract as well. Mm-hmm. And we're dealing with the exact same thing that he was dealing with last year in Tampa Bay that made him available so that the Red Sox could pick him up, which is pretty amazing when you think about it. And yet, I don't hear any anger. I don't hear anybody pissed off. I don't hear – this is not the normal Red Sox reaction. And I know. It's we get
it. What do you think would happen in a post game like this? What do you think would be a typical response? I think this is less an outlier with Chris Sale. It seems to be the norm. This seems to be what you're going to get from him.
It's gone on
all
for
a year.
The only thing I would say is it's gone on for a long time. I didn't get my point. Yeah, in the first few.
So
but
now you expect this outing.
Alex Cora expected something different today. Lou, he would not have said that the other day if he didn't see signs that this thing was coming around.
Here's what I wonder, right? Because, again, you know, I thought he was sharp. I thought he had good stuff, okay, in Yankee Stadium. I thought he had good power. The only thing he couldn't do was throw a fastball in on righty, so that side of the plate. You know, so I was expecting him to build off of that. The same power, try to locate the fastball in. The location on that pitch in today was a lot better. I thought the location was better. You know, he got some swings and misses. He set it up nicely at times, but the power wasn't. So what I'm wondering is, for one game in Yankee Stadium, did he let the adrenaline sort of get to him? Did he sort of say, you know what, screw it. For a game, I'm going to let it fly a little bit. And realize that, you know, letting it go, maybe he wasn't ready, and because of it, he couldn't locate. And said, you know what, I have to dial it back right now in order to locate. I'm not ready yet. And so I expected him to kind of build off that last outing, and I think he actually kind of took a step back as far as, like, the power in his game went, and he tried to find that location again. And I think that's what happened today. Again, you can look at it and say 10 strikeouts, and I would sit there and say, you know, rather than finishing a guy off on, you know, 1-2 and making it a four-pitch at-bat with a strikeout, that four-pitch at-bat took 8. And because of that, he threw 60 pitches in the first 3 innings, and you saw only 5 from him. So as much as strikeouts as we saw, 10 from him, I would still say he had trouble finishing guys off. That's why it was an odd game to watch.
Yeah, and they brought the kid up, right? The other kid, Hernandez?
I believe.
He's up, right?
Yeah, I haven't seen anything. I think there's enough speculation that he's the guy that's coming up here. And I would think that, you know, Velasquez goes maybe 4, hopefully 5. But and then you're going to see Darwinson Hernandez, the kid from AA, the lefty, 98. Good stuff. Got to harness it a little bit. Some walk rates were up a little bit. He only had a couple starts. One game he walked a bunch of guys. One game he was sharp. So the stuff is there, and I expect him to piggyback Velasquez and come in after him and try to give him length and try to get to this 8th, 9th inning.
We saw him pitch down Fort Myers. Big kid. Dude, big.
We did.
Big. We didn't see any of the other guys pitch. We didn't see anybody.
If we saw him, I think I would have remembered because we didn't see anybody.
We saw nobody.
Nobody.
But him. He's the only guy that we saw the pitch. But getting back to this series against this homestand, this 10-game homestand. So they win the 3 over the weekend, which is a big, huge deal because they needed it. They couldn't afford even 2 losses in that weekend game, weekend series. So they win all 3. This is an important 10-game homestand to hang in there, right? They've got to just hang in there right now.
Isn't this what you were kind of looking forward to?
Yeah, this was not a good sign today.
You start the season on the road, tons of games on the road, and You need to take advantage of these situations, of these opportunities. And because, you know, who knows what the hell is going to happen in another 2 months.
Yeah.
So I leave. Eovaldi is, I don't know what, he's got loose bodies.
Loose bodies.
Did anyone predict this? Did anyone see this?
Luke talked about it before he signed.
I'll say this.
It's exactly what you thought was going to happen.
Yeah, I would say that the first, 3 weeks of the season, 2019 for Nathan Eovaldi is Nathan Eovaldi a microcosm of who he is.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's, you know, inconsistency on the mound. You know, there'll be a good outing, there'll be a great outing, whatever you want to call it. And then inconsistent 3 or 4 starts, performance-wise, and an injury. I mean, this is just who he's been. I mean, we've heard for, you know, talking about the risk of injury, and all you kept hearing was, you know, he's a big, strong guy. He's always been a big, strong guy. He's enormous.
We cried for him.
So, yeah, he's a big dude. But it's just, it's like, I don't care how big he is, there's some issues in that elbow, right? There's been a couple Tommy Johns. They've gone in there twice now to clean out loose bodies in his elbow. It's like,
well, no, so the Tommy John was different. So the loose bodies, I'm sitting here thinking, all right, so it's just
bone spurs.
Bone spurs, exactly. So it's not the end of the world. But they come, but the thing is, because bone spurs come back for a reason. It's like you're going to always have bone spurs. As soon as you take them out, they're just going to come back. So it's an issue for the rest of your life. Yet here's your $17 million a year for the next 4 years.
That's not
going to
hurt. It's not good.
Not good. Not
all right, 617-779-7937. Let's get to the phone calls. David is in North Providence. Hey, Dave.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, Dave.
What's up?
Great show as always, all the time. Love you guys.
Thank you, Dave.
Listen, to you and to all the listeners out there, Chris Sale and the bullpen, you know, of course, we need a little bit of work, but it's early. There's some minor league players like Zaslow, Romberg, and Amber on 790.
Oh, Lord.
I've listened to that show, by the way, that he's trying to promote. It sucks. Some garbage Florida show.
Garbage
Florida show. Nice. The bullpen does scare the hell out of me, though. And that was the one thing I think going into the season this year, because is the starting rotation going to correct itself? I would guess in the long course of the season, the starting rotation is going to be okay, going to be better than okay, right?
And you mentioned this homestand, right? I mean, 10 games, you've only had 6 so far. You come back, get home. It's Detroit. It's Tampa. It's Oakland. If you win every series, you go 7-3. If you go 7-3, you're at 500. You also go 10-3 in your last 13, right? I thought that was a realistic goal, you know, 7-3, and it would get you back. Now, you know, you drop game one. Now you're looking at, you know, 7-2. It's still attainable, but I just think you got to get right here at home, and you got to just, I mean, if you went 7-3, even 6-4, you know, you're a game or two under, but you could at least sit there and say, okay, we're 9-4 in our last 13. Let's get this thing going, and this wasn't the right way to start it.
Maybe people think they can just catch up down the road. I don't think that's the case. I think you've got to start making hay here. I don't believe that Tampa Bay is going away. And you can look at it and say, well, they swept them over the weekend. Okay, Red Sox did a good job over the weekend. They swept the best team in the American League. But I'm not ready to throw the towel in that Tampa Bay is done. And you're going to see them, as you said, Lou, here in a few games. But the bullpen still...
They're not in last place, at least.
But the bullpen... No, Baltimore. But Baltimore's taking their rightly place. Yeah.
Things are starting to take...
Oh, Baltimore's gone south in a hurry. You know, remember the first couple of weeks, people said, whoa, Baltimore's in second place. Yeah, good luck with that. But the bullpen does scare me, because that was the big weakness we saw before the season began. What did they have, 5 hits today, the Red Sox? They're going to hit better than this. I mean, Mookie's starting to show some life at the plate. They're going to hit better than this. I think the starting pitching is going to be better. But the bullpen, whoa, scares the hell out of me. And if your starters don't go deep enough, happened today, you see what happens.
So you think that they're in a better situation now, because you still believe, even with Eovaldi, who knows how long he's going to be.
You think the
small amount of pitchers that they have left at the moment, right, still early in the season.
I don't know
how you could say the pitching is going to improve. Based on what?
But you're moving up Velasquez right now, who's been basically your, what do they call it? They don't call it starters, beginners, or whatever the hell they call them. And that's what he's basically been, right?
I know, but so how would you feel better about the pitching situation, knowing what it looks like and what it's looked
because
like
I think
in the past, I don't know, 4 weeks?
Because I think in the long run, the starting pitching is going to be pretty good. Now, maybe you feel differently. The thing that scared me going into the season, and they were pretty good the first 2 or 3 weeks when the rest of the team was falling apart, was the bullpen. But come on. Look at the guys that are out there. All right?
Everything, again, I hate. Have they turned the page? Since I left, did they turn the page? Did they burn the book?
No.
The book is still.
No, I think Corey's not willing to do that. We try to get him to do that.
You're not going
to
do it.
He's not willing to do it.
Maybe we should officially say, listen, okay, all joking aside, that was a dumb way of looking at the season. You want to do the pictures on the wall inside the, you know, inside Fenway? That's really cool for every win you have. That was a good idea.
right? Because if you lose, if you win 10 games, so what? You put 10 pictures up. You're not accountable, or you're not, you don't have to hold up to any sort of expectation.
What would the Patriots do, Christian?
Forget about the Patriots. And any team. You think this is a good idea for any team at any level?
And this is why. I know you missed it, but, you know, David Price came out while you were away and basically said, you know, we have to turn this thing around or everybody's going to get traded. And for the first time, it was sort of like, okay, somebody gets it. You know, you didn't hear it's early, we're a good team, we'll figure it out. So, and then with that, they went into Tampa and they played good baseball. At least they won three games. They did what they needed to do to win. So he said, okay, they're starting to figure it out. And, you know, Porcello was better in his last outing. He got bombed his first three. Erod's been good his last two. Price has been very good. Sale, you were just sort of like, okay, we're still waiting. So the starting pitching has been better. You know, you're just sort of waiting for, you know, if they win this ball game today, we're sitting there saying, okay, they've won four straight. All right, everything is fine. You lose one game, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, and I understand because it's frustrating. They shouldn't have lost this ball game. They really shouldn't have, even though Boyd threw the ball real well. But they got to turn this thing around. They still can take three out of four from this team, but they need to start winning, taking care of business at home.
Hey, we win 2 out of 3, no Christian next week, okay?
They won 3 out of 3. You're done.
I am completely fine with that. You guys can stand there and watch your baseball love fest.
You can stand there and watch us. You can try to break into the interview, see if he answers your question.
I'm going to start rooting for them to lose now. How about that?
Save that clip. Tell them that tomorrow. Here's Ray and Revere next up here on OMF. Hi, Ray.
Hey, guys. Listen, I'm not that upset with the state of the Red Sox right now because I think the cost of doing business for John Henry is that they have to sign free agent pitchers. They don't have the prospects down in the minor leagues. And these guys are going to be susceptible to injuries. And, you know, I think you can second guess Eovaldi signing because he had a history. But at the end of the day, they had to sign Porcello. They had to sign Sale. They had to sign Price. And, you know, I was on them a couple years ago when they held back on payroll when they needed a hitter. They went out and spent it last year. And they went out and won a championship. So, unfortunately, until these prospects start getting drafted, which is what I think Dombrowski was brought in to do, this is going to be the model that we have.
Yeah, I don't think Dombrowski was brought to build the minor league system. He was built to take the minor league players in the system and go and get veteran players. But suppose it doesn't work right. Suppose none of these guys work out for you. So then you
don't. You've got to figure out how to draft better.
When you say that, that has been Dombrowski's issue. I mean, everywhere he has gone, you know, he's made great trades and bolstered his major league team, and he's traded away prospects. And that's the issue is not that. The issue to me is, okay, well, once you deplete the system, do you know who you're drafting? Like, are you drafting, you know, you can rebuild the farm system, you know, 2-3 years from now, you know, whether it's international signings or drafting well, you could have a loaded farm system. But that's probably the biggest weakness of a guy like Dave Dombrowski in his career. Real quick, Darwin Hernandez is official. He is up for this game, just as that 26th man. But Pointer's been optioned down to AAA, and they brought up Travis Lakins, a reliever, a kid that I'm kind of excited to see. We'll see what he can do.
Woo, Red Sox! The revolving door. That's what we've got. Bullpen scares the hell out of me. I'm sorry. And I don't see a lot of answers for it right now. All right, we'll get back to more of your phone calls. We'll get into the Bruins. Big game 7 tonight, big fella, over at the TD Garden. And we've got bad ice, according to Brad Marchand.
There's also one other problem I hate to inform people, but I'll tell you when we come
back.
Good,
we'll do that next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.